Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa lah. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. So inshallah ta'ala, we continue with ayah number 38, in which Allah ta'ala says, هذا يوم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين. This is the day of judgment. We will have assembled you and the former peoples. So this ayah has two sentences in it. هذا يوم الفصل, saying this is the day. يوم الفصل is translated here as the day of judgment, but a better translation is the day of distinction, the day of decision, the day of the verdict. الفصل, usually that's when you separate things into classes and so forth. And the second sentence is what? جمعناكم الأولين. We will have assembled you and the former people. So the only way to distinguish between the good and the bad is if first you gather everybody together and then start the division process. Hence, the first part of the verse is confirmed by the second part. So first we have to gather everybody, then we actually start distinguishing. You can't really start distinguishing until you have everybody there. So you can say, okay, now that we have the full body of people, let's start figuring out who gets categorized into where. So, هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم الأولين. The second part is confirming the first part. So when we think of how people are divided, typically us, we think that people are divided based on age. Oh, you know, the elders of the masjid versus the younger. Or they, you know, based on race, based on the time period you live. Oh, people who lived back then think differently than people of nowadays. Maybe looks, maybe status. There's different ways that we divide people. And none of these are the true distinguishing factors. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is the day of true distinction, the day that true distinction will happen. Then Allah says, you'll be joined with people from different places and different time periods and different races and different economic statuses, all because you had the same faith. So you really have to understand that you are the same as somebody who lives, you know, in a different area, at a different time period, different socioeconomic status, you know, different language. But guess what? You had the same faith, and that's what actually matters. That's what's going to bring you people together. هذا يوم الفصل also is primarily in reference to, and Allah knows best, distinguishing between the people of truthfulness and the liars. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala keeps repeating, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day to the liars, to the liars. So clearly, there's a distinguishing factor between who? The truthful and the liars. And another way of dividing these two sentences is by saying what? The day of distinction will divide between the believers and disbelievers regarding iman versus shirk. And these are considered the topic of huququllah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala. So هذا يوم الفصل, this is the day of distinguishing between, you know, iman wa shirk, and that's Allah's right. But then what about human beings? Don't they have rights as well? Yes, جمعناكم الأولين. Don't worry, we're going to gather the first and the last of you. We're going to gather all of you together to make sure that you give each other your rights. That's حقوق العباد. So of course, a human being has to think about these two factors. حق الله وحق العباد. Or, you know, what are the rights of Allah and what are the rights of the servants around me? So first and foremost, did you fulfill Allah's rights by believing in tawheed instead of doing shirk? And then after that, now the next question is, okay, how can we make sure that all the rights are given to the servants? We know how it's going to happen. The Prophet ﷺ tells us in Sahih Bukhari, authentic hadith, يخلص المؤمنون من النار فيحبسون على قنطرة بين الجنة والنار فيقص ببعضهم من بعض مظالم كانت بينهم في الدنيا. That the believers, after being saved from hellfire, will be stopped at the bridge between paradise and hell, and mutual retaliation will be established among them regarding the wrongs they have committed in this world against one another. So subhanAllah, after any sort of punishment you may have had in Jahannam, or after just getting away from that whole scene where Jahannam is brought forth and so forth, when people are going on their way to paradise, there's a qantara. This qantara, this is a particular bridge. The only way you could pass over it is if you are purified. How do you get purified? What wrongs did you do to the ibad, to the different servants in this life? Did you insult that guy? Okay, well, you're going to have to give up some of your hasanat. Okay, did you hurt that guy's feelings? Okay, you're going to have to take on some of his sayyat. You're going to have to take on some of his sins or give up some of your good deeds. So subhanAllah, this whole retaliation, every little thing is going to be retaliated so you can go forth. So the best thing to do in such a case is what? Make sure you give da'wah, make sure you call to Islam, so you try to give the rights to human beings, that you give them a good advice, you give them the best that you can. And then if people insult you in the process, if people harm you in the process, just thank Allah Ta'ala that all that harm will be an expiation for you, a kafara for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah knows best. Now, of course, this sentence, هَذَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ جَمَعْنَاكُمْ وَالْأَوَّلِينَ could be completely addressing the disbelievers. It could be that Allah is saying, this is the day of distinction. We will have assembled you, O disbelievers, today, and the former nations, as in the former disbelievers from before you, like your forefathers. So if this sentence is referring to the disbelievers exclusively, then the former nations is a reference to the past nations that were destroyed, you know, Qawm Nuh, right, Ad and Thamud, and so on and so forth, Qawm Lut, etc. And so this could be a response to them saying things like, we are just following, the people, our forefathers, right? We're just following the people that we were, we're following upon their tradition. Our forefathers gave us these traditions and we just want to follow them. Why? Because they were older and wiser and so on and so forth. It's as if Allah Ta'ala is saying, you want to be like your forefathers, so much that you'll be joining them in their punishment as well. So of course the lesson is what? Just because something is traditional doesn't automatically make it good. We have to actually ask ourselves, okay, things are traditional, there might be some ugly traditions as well. You always have to differentiate and make your own decisions and realize that you will be responsible and held accountable individually, right? On Yawm al-Qiyamah, everything, you can't say, well, what about them? What about that? No. It's just between you and your creator. Al-Biqa'i, rahimahullah, mentioned that the disbelievers would say in response to any sort of threats, they would say, أنا أكفي عشرة من ملائكة النار. They would say, oh, I can take on 10 of these angels of the fire. They would mockingly say to the Prophet, oh, he says that there's going to be these angels of hellfire. How big is their group? How many do they have? I can take on 10 of them. So Allah Ta'ala says in the very next ayah, responding to this, فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ. So if you have a plan, then plan against me. فَكِيدُونِي, you would expect noon and then a ya and then kasra, فَكِيدُونِي, then plot against me, but it's made short. And this could be implying more like emphasis, making it more emotional. Like you say it when you're either shouting or you're saying it like in an impassioned way. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, so if you have a plan, then plan against me. This is really an interesting statement. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you have a plot against this deen? Go ahead, bring it on, see what you can do. In this dunya, disbelievers will argue with the believers, using bad faith arguments, they'll distract, they'll deceive, they'll filibuster, waste time, just drain the clock, and all other kinds of tactics when discussing Islam. They scheme in their political ambitions to resist Allah's truth. They use economic and military tactics to accomplish their goals. They use all kinds of propaganda. There's so many different sleazy ways, instead of just coming straight forward and saying, okay, what makes sense? Let's have an honest dialogue. Unfortunately, you find many different methods to deceive and to blind people. And even a wealthier disbeliever might use bribery or intimidation to achieve their goals. A disbeliever has so many tactics and schemes, and yet all of them will be useless to avoid or to delay or to alter Judgment Day in any capacity. Whatever you think you're going to do, whatever you think you're going to accomplish, the fact of the matter is you will accomplish nothing. So if you're unable to execute your plan in this dunya 100%, think about it. We have plans, we wake up in the morning and we have a certain set of plans, and yet Allah Ta'ala has different plans. And the disbelievers, they try to have an effect on the believers and on the Muslim world, and they fail to do so, subhanAllah, over and over again. So what chance do you have in the next world when things are so much more direct and straightforward? So yes, the previous ayah was addressing the violations of rights, both divine rights, huququllah, and of human rights, huquq al-ibad. So those who want to violate the rights, violate these rights, think that they can get away with it. So Allah Ta'ala is challenging them. If you have some sort of brilliant plot, then go right ahead, try to plot against me directly. SubhanAllah. This is a challenge that Allah Ta'ala knows that humanity cannot attempt to do. And this is why there are many different challenges like this. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, right near the beginning of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ, right? And if you are in doubt about what we have sent down upon our servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then produce a surah like it. Go ahead, try to produce this surah, also 10 surah. Try to produce a Quran like it. Many different challenges, but the point is that they cannot. This is also said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ, the Prophet was commanded, قُلْ إِدْعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ كِيدُونِي فَلَا تُنظِرُونَ. That the Prophet is told, say this, O Muhammad, call all your partners, all your shuraka, all your false deities, and then conspire against me and give me no chance. Give me no time whatsoever. Don't give me like a heads up. Don't, give me a fair fight. No, just all at once. Go ahead. So the Prophet is commanded, Tell them, do your worst. And this is exactly the same words as the Prophet Hud alayhi salam, who said what? فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُونَ. That plot against me altogether, then do not give me any respite. Do not give me any extra time. Don't give me a chance. So subhanAllah, these are the challenges set forth. You know, go ahead, try to attack the Qur'an and produce something like it. Try to attack the Messenger of Allah. Do whatever you can. You can't do it in this dunya, so what chance do you have in the akhirah? In this world, they'd plot against the Prophet, so in the next life, they're told, plot against Allah Ta'ala. Why? Why is that the case? Because a plot against Allah's Messenger is an indirect challenge to Allah. So in this life, they're operating indirectly, whereas in the next life, everything will be direct and clear, subhanAllah. Then Allah says what? وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day to the deniers. As in, woe to those that deny that they'll be divided into groups that they belong in. Right? That's what. So وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. If you're going to deny that you're going to be divided into groups, then woe to you on that day. Every time, this is something that we should scare us. And really, subhanAllah, it's a terrifying thought. Every time you're watching or listening to some sort of terrible entertainment, and you're wondering, man, who watches this stuff? Who listens to this stuff? Why do people, you know, spend their time on stuff like this? Unfortunately, you're one of those people. So you're part of that group. I mean, how terrifying is that? I remember I had this revelation when I was in high school on the city bus, and I remember hearing people chattering just like pretty close to me, and they were talking about some celebrity gossip. And as they're talking, I'm like, oh my God, people chatting about celebrity gossip. Then I realized, wait a second, I know everything they're talking about. I know that celebrity. I know, you know, the news that they recently, you know, I don't know whether it was get married to this one or broke up with that one or whatever it was. You know, oh, they have a new movie coming out. Whatever it was, it was just some chit-chat gossip. And I was like, oh my God, I know all of this. Why do I know this nonsense? And I was like, subhanAllah, like, oh, those people. What do you mean those people? You're all, you know, هَذَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ جَمَعْنَاكُمْ وَالْأَوَّلِينَ. You know, you're all the same. You're all in the same boat. Because if someone starts quoting ayats of the Quran, I'll be like, I don't know that. I don't know that ayah. I don't know that surah. But if someone starts talking about that gossip, I'm like, yeah, I know. So which group do you belong in? Right? It's quite depressing and quite scary. So yes, at the same time, conversely, every time you're praying, you're amongst those who are praying all over the planet Earth. You might be alone in your house just doing your salah, or in the masjid by yourself just praying some extra rak'ah. But guess what? Maybe there's people in all different cities and countries all over the place, and they're all making dua. And on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, you'll find out I was with all you guys, even though not physically, but we were all in spirit together. Same thing with prayer, reading Quran, dua, giving da'wah, giving in charity, whatever it may be. Be part of that group is the point. So woe to those who deny their, and the next thing is, woe to those who deny that they're subject to Allah's plan and they pretend like they are self-sufficient, that they can resist Allah's justice, that they can escape Allah's wrath. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Then Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ. Indeed, the righteous will be among shades and springs. Now this begins the seventh section. If we go back to the beginning, I broke down the surah into different sections. This is the seventh, I mean, there's the eighth, and that's it. So the seventh section here is the whole section about the righteous and the new beginning for the believers. The new beginning for the believers. This is the whole section. So in this section, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ. Indeed, the righteous will be among the shades and among springs. The word muttaqeen, those who are God-fearing, those who have self-restraint, seems to highlight the way they are restraining themselves from denying the truth. Again, because this whole surah keeps repeating, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe to those who deny. So they do not do so. So what's the big lesson here? Taqwa isn't just about doing the right thing, which of course it is, right? Not looking at the wrong thing and not saying the wrong thing. But in addition to that, taqwa in one's heart can manifest in many ways. And the way that seems to be stressed in this surah, which we should all be striving for, is to withhold ourselves from denying inconvenient or uncomfortable truths. You ever hear somebody tell you something that is an inconvenient truth, an uncomfortable truth, something that you kind of want to resist, you kind of just want to deny it? This surah is saying, don't be that guy. Don't fall into the category of people who deny something just because it's an inconvenient truth. The truth is the truth, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, just take it. Endure uncomfortable truths in this life, and Allah promises you comfort. And this is exactly why Allah says shade and springs. You know, you think of cool, relax, chill, you know, in nice water, etc. in the hereafter. This is, it's an uncomfortable truth here. You can endure it, and inshallah, you'll have the comfort in the next life. There's so many ayat that are like this. Fi jannatin wa ayun, Allah Ta'ala mentions, within gardens and springs. Innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa na'im. Indeed, the righteous will be in gardens and pleasure. Innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar. Indeed, the righteous will be among gardens and rivers. There's so many ayat that associate taqwa and then gardens and then springs. You see that this formula comes up many times. The word dhil as well implies a large area of shade. You know, something very big. Because if you were to have a small area of shade, like for example an umbrella or something, it would be called a fate. A fate. This is a shade, but ظل means like no, big, comfortable, wide area. So it's supposed to be representing a lot of comfort. And furthermore, this is in contrast to the disbelievers who had their own shade, as we talked about in ayah number 30. انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعاب. Proceed, go forward to the shadow of smoke having three columns. We talked about that a few weeks ago. So the fact that Allah contrasts, yes, there's ظل, but there's different types. There's the one that's in hell, which provides no comfort whatsoever, and then the one in paradise. And then Allah says what? Allah says, وَفَوَاكِهَ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. And then Allah says, and fruits from whatever they desire. Why mention fruits specifically? What's the parallel? Well, we know that the farmer must be patient and work diligently, and in the end, they'll yield a harvest, right? It's not like you just plant a seed and boom, you get fruits immediately. It takes a long time of being patient and working with it and taking care of it. And the people of self-restraint, the people of taqwa, the people of hard work, they will be patient and they'll eventually reap the fruits of paradise. So it makes, you know, it's a beautiful parallel to use the topic of fruits because it's a slow process. You can't expect immediate results. And there are different words for fruit in Arabic, like for example, thamara or ukul. But the thing is, the word fawakih or fakiha comes from the root verb of fakiha yafkahu or al-fakaha, which means joy. So it's not just talking about fruits, but the type of fruits that when you eat them, they give you joy, subhanAllah. So it's talking about something very pleasurable. Furthermore, the word at-tafakkuh means wonder, amazement, astonishment. So subhanAllah, this is something that's bewildering and something that's amazing, you never get bored of. In this life, being overrun by your desires will make you a weak person. We know Imam Shafi'i has a nice poem, he says, al-abdu hurrun in qani'a wal-hurru abdun in tami'a. Beautiful. Little couplet. He says, a slave is free when he's contented, while the free man is enslaved when he's tempted. So it doesn't matter how enslaved you are, as long as you're content, you're free. You're free in your mind, right? You're free in your heart. But no matter how rich you are, no matter how much wealth and freedom you have, as long as you're always desiring the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, you're enslaved by your own desires, and you can't get away from that. So basically, shahawat are something very deadly and dangerous, and they shackle you in this dunya. However, Allah Ta'ala says that in the next life, وَفَوَاكِهَا مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. You can have whatever you want. Your shahawat, yashtahoon. This is not going to be something negative. You can enjoy and just indulge all of your pleasures, and there is no weakness in that, and Allah knows best. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Eat and drink in satisfaction for what you used to do. We know in this dunya, you eat and you drink, you might feel sick, you might get, you know, stomach ache, you might overeat and then become overweight. No. Eat and drink hani'an, in satisfaction, in joy. Bima kuntum ta'malun, because of what you used to do. Because of what you were persistently, regularly doing, that you get to enjoy and understand and know that yes, of course, this is because of Allah's mercy, but it's also because you chose the right path instead of choosing the wrong path, and Allah knows best. Now, there's an interesting question here. Why is there the pleasure of shade in paradise, as we mentioned earlier, right? You know, ظل, this shade, when there's no sun. And we know that there's no sun because Allah says in Surah Insan, ayah number 13, لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا. So one answer is, Allah knows best, Allah will give us the pleasures we enjoy in this world, in this life, without the hardships associated with them. So we enjoy the coolness and beauty of sitting in shade, so there will be an equivalent, you know, a joy, without the equivalent of overheating, without the equivalent of dehydration, without the equivalent of sunburn, etc. But there will be that enjoyment of being cool in the shade and enjoying, you know, your privileged position. Wallahu alam. And Ibn Abbas says, لَيْسَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ شَيْءٌ مِمَّا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا الْأَسْمَاءِ. He says, nothing in paradise is like in the dunya except for the name. So in other words, it's not exactly the way you think of it, but these are the names that will give you some sort of a comprehension, but ultimately paradise is completely different. The akhirah is completely different. Furthermore, the Prophet says, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَشَجَرَةً يَسِيرُ الرَّاكِبُ فِي ظِلِّهَا مِئَةَ عَامٍ لَا يَقْطَعُهَا وَإِن شِئْتُمْ فَقْرَأُوا وَظِلٍ مَمْدُودٍ وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ. Indeed, in paradise, there is a tree whose shade a rider can travel for 100 years without stopping, recite if you wish, and in shade extended, and water flowing constantly. That's Surah 56, which is Surah Waqi'ah, Ayat 30 and 31. So there's an authentic hadith in Tirmidhi saying that, imagine the grandeur. This is just one tree. Imagine gardens. Imagine the expanses. Imagine the fruits, the diversity, the beauty. SubhanAllah, imagine having your palaces. Imagine being able to create and build whatever you want with whatever imagination, with whatever type of physics you can come up with. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to think about the laws that we're constrained by in this world. Final two ayat. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. Indeed, we thus reward the muhsinin, the people of ihsan, the people of excellence, the people who do good. Allah already described this group of people as who? Inna al-muttaqina. Right? Allah Ta'ala was talking about the people of muttaqin. And now Allah is saying, Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. This is not the only time. There is a list of times where Allah Ta'ala talks about al-muttaqin, and then later on says, this is for the muhsinin. Or mentions the muhsinin and says, that is exactly what we're going to give, the muttaqin. And you say, why is there this connection? Why is it like they are overlapping, the people of muttaqin and the people of muhsinin? And the answer is quite straightforward, and Allah knows best. But it seems to be the case that it's referring to what you do and what you don't do, right? In life, there are the decisions you make and the decisions you refrain from. Taqwa is when you refrain. Ihsan is what you do. Ihsan is talking about the good that you do, and taqwa is talking about the bad that you avoided. So muttaqin and muhsinin, they go hand in hand. They're two halves of the same coin, you could say, right? And so yeah, taqwa represents the sins that you don't do, and ihsan represents the good that you did. The Mu'tazila try to use this verse as evidence to prove that the one who commits a major crime cannot enter paradise, but they're wrong about this. This verse is contrasted with كَذَلِكَ نَفَعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. What's interesting here, because earlier in ayah number 18 in the same surah, Allah said what? كَذَلِكَ نَفَعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is what we're going to do to the criminals. In this ayah, Allah says, إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, we, yes indeed, it is us. Allah Ta'ala makes it more personal, that we are going to reward the good doers. One obvious difference is how Allah Ta'ala makes it extra personal with the extra inna in this verse, whereas that is absent in ayah number 18. And then Allah Ta'ala says, excuse me, there's the comment here from a tabi'i, Mutrif, Ibn Abdullah Ibn Ash-Shakhir, rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْمَوْتِ قَدْ أَفْسَدَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ النَّعِيمِ نَعِيمَهُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نَعِيمًا لَا مَوْتَ فِيهِ يَعْنِي الْجَنَّةِ. What a beautiful quote. It's a beautiful, beautiful quote. He says what? Indeed, death has ruined pleasures for the people of pleasure. Death has ruined the pleasures for the people of pleasure. You know, some people, I love the taste of this, and I love the fun of that, and I love that. But the moment you realize all this is going to come to an end, everything's going to break down, everything that I like to look at, my eyes won't last forever. Everything that I like to listen to, my ears won't last forever. And so on and so forth. So all of this stuff ultimately gets destroyed by death. So indeed, death has ruined pleasures for the people of pleasure, so strive in obtaining the pleasure that does not have death, as in talking about paradise. Then finally, just to conclude, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day to the deniers, ayah number 45, concluding this section, as in, meaning what? Woe to those who deny the shade of paradise. Woe to those who deny what? The springs of paradise. Woe to those who deny what? The fruits of paradise. Woe to those who deny the pleasures of paradise and the freedom of paradise that you get to have whatever you want. Woe on that day. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Who have denied this, all these incredible blessings. How can you possibly deny what is coming for the believers? So it's going to be pretty unfortunate for you on that day. Woe to those who deny the reward of the people of al-muhsinin. You see the people going out doing excellence. You see the guy picking up trash from the side of the road. You see the one who wants to give advice. You see the one who does a little extra kindness, puts money in the box. Those who are always looking to pick up anything, any small deed, they want to do that good. Woe to those who deny the reward for al-muhsinin. Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin. You deny this, subhanAllah, woe to you on that day. Not only are the disbelievers punished, but they will know that their enemies, who are the believers, are being rewarded because of this entire section. So woe to them for denying. And this is only going to add to their punishment. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we close. Barakallahu fikum. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who understand these ayat and apply them. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.